morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. It is the Lord's Day, Sunday, October 11th, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost on the church calendar, and we are happy to be here today. Starting off with a few announcements. Next Sunday, we are excited to return our services back inside. So next Sunday, we'll have our services inside the sanctuary with appropriate distancing measures in place. So looking forward to next Sunday inside. Also, we have our weekly Bible studies. The Shady Oak Bible study will be Wednesday night, 6 p.m. And our Tuesday night Bible study is not starting up until October 20th. It will resume October 20th. And just doing a sound check here. Loud and clear, loud and clear. Okay. So, I'd like to begin our service with a call to worship. Everybody hear me okay, huh? Call to worship is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us meditate on those words. And we're going to have a moment of silence while our friend Logan sounds the bell. Thank you. Congregation, let us join together singing praises to the Lord with our opening worship, This is My Father's World.
From Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. As we worship the Lord this morning, let us sing together, "Be unto your name."
Praises, honor, and riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. He stood in the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
It is good to sing praises to the Lord. And now, congregation, if you would take up your bulletin, flip it over. You'll see the confession of our sin, the words of Almighty God, our Maker. Let us take this time to confess our sins together. I'll read the words under the heading of Pastor, and you can read along with me under the heading Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And now, Stavanger, let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Stavanger, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this Sunday, gathered together as one body, with one voice. We come to praise your name. We come to confess our sins before you, to confess our faith before you, and to partner in the mission you have given us as your church. We thank you for providing meaning and purpose to our lives. And that purpose is found in you. Lord, we seek your glory. Thank you for the mission of this church. The mission of this church in a large way of training up pastors to go out into the mission field, to go out into the nations and to serve. You've given this church a great mission. That's only a small part of it, because there are many members here, Lord. I pray that you would help us further this mission and help its members to have vision of the mission you have put before them, of their purpose in serving you. Lord, we pray for a harvest. Lord, show us where we can be your hands. Show us where we can be your heart. Show us where we can be your voice in this world. Enable us by grace to do your will. I thank you, Lord, for this gathering today, that we're able to come together. And we look forward to the weeks ahead where we come back inside, Lord. Give us wisdom. Lord, we pray for those who are not well this Sunday, who are grieving, who are hurt, and we grieve with them. We pray that you also, your presence would be with them. Lord, and now we rejoice. And we rejoice because we get to hear your word. We get to feed on your word. We get to receive your word. Pray over the sermon today, delivered by Pastor Eric, that we would hear your word, and that we would receive your word. And now, Lord, we pray in the manner our Lord Jesus taught us, with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's my great pleasure to invite up Pastor Eric Reese with today's sermon, Cornerstone, from Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46.
Good morning, Stavanger Church. Our gospel this morning, as Giovanni just mentioned, comes from Matthew 21, another parable of our Lord, the parable of the wicked tenants, starting with verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. This is the gospel of our Lord. If you remember our gospel text from a couple weeks ago, Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders came to him, and they asked, "By what authority do you do these things?" Now the chief priests and the elders were questioning his authority because Jesus was doing things like driving people out of the temple and overthrowing the table of the money changers. So these religious leaders asked Jesus, "Who gave you the authority to do these things?" And instead of giving them a straight answer, Jesus answers them in parables. In our passage this morning, Jesus begins another parable about a landowner who plants a vineyard. And he puts a wall around the vineyard, and he digs a wine press in it, and he builds a watchtower for it. This landowner garnishes the vineyard with everything that it needs to produce good fruit, including farmers who he rents to the vineyard while he is away. When it came time for harvest, the landowner sent some of his servants to collect the harvest from his hired tenants, but the servants were not welcomed. Instead, the tenants beat one of the servants, murdered another, and stoned a third. So the landowner sent even more servants a second time, and they were met with the same hostility as the first group. So the landowner does something absurd. He sends his own son to the tenants, but the tenants, scheming after the son's inheritance, throw the son out and kill him. I think it's important to notice that this parable is highlighting the extraordinary wickedness of these tenants. And by doing that, it is also highlighting the extraordinary patience of the landowner, to the point of being downright absurd. I mean, these tenants have terrorized and murdered essentially fellow employees of the landowner. At that point, as the boss, you don't send a second group of employees to these violent madmen. You call the police. You demand swift justice. But in this parable, the landowner is absurdly patient toward these tenants, to the extreme that his own son is murdered by them. When we find these absurd situations in the parables, we should pay close attention, because the extremeness of the situation is often used to emphasize a point. The extraordinary patience of this landowner with his tenants, the extraordinary wickedness of these tenants, these things are being emphasized. At this point in the parable, Jesus turns his attention back to the religious leaders. He asks them, "What will the landowner do to the tenants when he returns to them?" They replied, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants." This is a reasonable response that these religious leaders give. These tenants have gone beyond mismanagement. They have brutalized and murdered the landowner's son, not to mention the other servants that were sent. Bringing these wretched tenants to their wretched end seems like the correct answer. But these religious leaders seem to have missed the point of the parable. They at least failed to see the relevance of it. So Jesus replies to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." In this parable, the landowner represents God, who called and raised up leaders in Israel as tenants to work in his kingdom. They were beaten. But when the prophets were sent to them, they were beaten, stoned, and murdered. Which reminds me of Stephen's words in Acts chapter 7. Before he was stoned, he says, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and your ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him." God was sending his son to them, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And he would soon be thrown out of the city and killed by the very leaders that God rose up to work in his kingdom. Jesus addresses the chief priests and the Pharisees, the spiritual teachers and leaders, and he tells them in these parables that the kingdom of God will be taken from them and given to a new people. This is where our ears should perk up. Here, Jesus is talking about the visible kingdom of God, his church here on earth, not being defined by whether or not you are a descendant of Abraham, but instead being defined as a community that has received this kingdom through faith as a gift. Notice that Jesus does not say that the kingdom of God will be earned by those if they work hard enough. No, instead he says it will be given to a people who will produce its fruit. This is not a call to do good works, but rather a description of the type of people to whom the kingdom will be given. Remember what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 regarding good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God makes us into the type of people to whom the kingdom will be given. Then he offers this kingdom to us in Christ as a gift. The stone that is Christ, who was judged by the religious leaders to be unfit and who was therefore rejected, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, has now worked through that rejection. He's worked through his very death that Christ might offer to us eternal life. There's a concept in literature and film called eucatastrophe. This term was coined by J.R.R. Tolkien. He used it to describe the unexpected turn of events at the end of a story, which usually involves the main character saving the day while avoiding some dreadful fate. The eucatastrophe is when the final card is played. It is the ultimate turning point in the plot. It is when redemption is finally won. In our passage this morning, Jesus is on his way to that event. The cross is waiting for him. The eucatastrophe, the ultimate turning point in the plot line of history, where the wrath of God that the whole world justly deserves was poured out on the cross alone, poured out on Christ alone. The completely unexpected turn of events that God made himself weak to be displayed on a cross, that the humility of his crucifixion would be turned into his victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. The wicked tenants tried to come between the landowner and his vineyard, attempting to take this vineyard by force. And in this, I believe there is also a warning for us to not come between God and his church. I believe we do this when we fail to acknowledge God as the one who plants, nurtures, and cares for his church. And when we add requirements and stipulations to the gospel. Because by doing this, we are acting as barriers between the grace that God freely offers his church and his church. When we do this, we've forgotten the good news that Christ, who was the stone that the builders rejected, has been revealed as the cornerstone. The crucifixion and the death of Christ did not stop the benevolence of God. In fact, by an unexpected turn of events, Christ's death and resurrection were the very means by which he has been victorious over sin and death and the power of the devil. He is the true vine, planted into death, into the ground, and by his resurrection brings forth victory, which is freely offered to all who will receive it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for the blessings in our lives and acknowledge you as the source of all good things. We thank you for sending your Son, who has redeemed us back to yourself by his life, death, and resurrection. We ask that our hope would be found in that good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for the word, Pastor Eric. And congregation, let us conclude our service with the closing chorus, "Go Now in Peace." Stavanger, receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.